Thank you very, very, very much for this, I would say, very creative and poetic and also narrative slideshow. It in some ways brought both the teachings and the experience together. The Harinam Chintamani, as we have gone through it, has shown us very practical guidelines and taught us what is expertise in chanting. Yes, we have to avoid the things which were done at the beginning of the slideshow. And it gives us remedies for our offensive or, let us say, inexpert chanting. It tells us really a couple of advices which you will all look again or see again when you obtain your training newsletters, which will guide you through your japa chanting on the basis of Harinam Chintamani, what you have learned when you are outside of the retreat. I would like to now address the subject of matter of how you can make best use of the retreat in your time after the retreat, which starts in a few hours for all of us when this retreat changes into the summer camp, and some of us stay and others take the ferry and go back into the ordinary lives. And I feel I have something very important to share with you. Also, at the end of this, we will make a brief Sankalpa ceremony, a Vedic ceremony, where you can come to closure and take essential things home with you. But I would like to start. One thing I need is working pens. Maybe someone can get them in the meantime. No, this is for writing on the flip chart.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Last few days we went through this wonderful scripture, and I would like to read to you the text. You can follow along, which describes a little bit the importance of this Harinam Chintamani. The Harinam Chintamani, the touchstone of the Lord's holy name, is an unfathomable mine of divine nectar. Whoever tastes it is truly fortunate and is blessed by Krishna. He is a great soul and always blissfully serves Lord Krishna in spontaneous loving devotion. I am but a fallen soul. I clasp his feet and humbly pray that the remnants of this nectar should be distributed profusely, thus spreading the divine bliss to everyone. such a stone, then you are really fortunate, because by the power of the touchstone, you can transform everything into gold. In much the same way as a poor beggar is fortunate when he obtains a touchstone, the conditioned soul is very, very, very fortunate if he can receive the touchstone of the holy name, Harinam Chintamani. This touchstone can immediately transform an otherwise unfortunate life into a very fortunate life. This is the idea of the book Harinam Chintamani. It is based on a shloka from the Padma Purana, Nama Chintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Vigrahai Purno Shuddho Nitya Mukto Binadvang Nama Namino. The holy name is full of rasa. It is eternally liberated. It is never a name under material conditions whatsoever. This is so because the name and the one who is named by the name are the same. Something precious has been given. I like very much this these touchstones here which fall from the holy name upon all of us. It's actually not touchstone, I think it's the idea is it's Namamrita, the nectar of the holy name, which comes out like honey, which comes out from a flower and drops upon us. It's very, very, I don't want to leave the sitting place any longer. It's a very good image. So when we have obtained something precious, and I think all of us had at one time or another something like a little inkling, a little anung, and a little hint how nice or how blissful the chanting is. When we have obtained something precious, it's very important that we don't waste it away or squander it or lose it even. I feel what I have to say now is so important, because it might be able to change the lives of those who apply that. See, many times after such retreats or after good lectures which have enthused us, or let us say we have gone on pilgrimage to Mayapur and or have visited Nisinga Chaturasi in Singhar Chalam, or had something of a breakthrough experience where Krishna consciousness became clear to us. Many times after this, devotees have come to me and have said, "Oh, this was very nice, Maharaj, but I know when I go back to Berlin, or when I go back to Zagreb, or when I go back to Ljubljana, my old life will wait for me, and I will not really be able to change anything. I will go back to normal. Retreat is fine, pilgrimage is fine, visit to the temples is fine, talking with older devotees is fine, but really, for actual life, doesn't really change anything." I think many of us are programmed for failure because they have this idea in their mind that a spiritual experience is something which just cannot be repeated in the normal life. And I think without admitting it to anyone, we have already given up the hope that it's possible to transform and change, even for us. This program for failure is something which can be reprogrammed by faith. You remember we talked about faith. That yes, by adopting the process of Krishna consciousness in all sincerity, it is possible to change. It is possible to purify the heart. It is possible when I go back to Zagreb or Ljubljana or Berlin or New York or Kansas City or wherever I come from, it is possible to live a bona fide Krishna conscious life with a pure heart there. This faith is brought about in two ways. One is that we hear from the scriptures, but the second is when we hear examples of personalities who have made a change in their life and kept the change intact. And I would like to give you one example today. I would like to tell you the story of John Favers. John Favers was born in the ghetto. It is described that in this ghettos, which were set aside for those who were born in Afro-American bodies, the law was the gun. John Favers, when he was a small child, carried with him a loaded gun, because everyone, without exception, made his point by the gun. He had a speech defect. Sometimes it would take him a few minutes to just pronounce a single phrase. But something was with this child which astonished his neighbors. Although he was very poor and lived on cloth from the Charitas, he would give away cloth to his friends and others in the neighborhood who were poor. And when he would read and read out loud the Bible, it seemed that his stammering or speech defect was not so pronounced any longer. Although his story is amazing, although he was born in such poor situations, although he was an outcast by the standards of American society as at that time, when he was a child, he achieved worldwide success. Although he was born in an Afro-American family, where he was severely restricted by the society in which he lived, he studied at Princeton University and became a student leader. See, at that time, the Afro people came to America as slaves. They came in the southern parts of America and were engaged in menial labor on the farms. And they were kept down by the white population of America. And one way to do that was to allow them only access to really basic education, not university or high school education. If you want to invest in a person's future, you have to give him an education. If you don't want him to have a future, don't give him an education. That was the idea. So, because he lived his life with an optimistic spirit, he entered America's prime university. I heard it's one of the very big ones, Harvard and Princeton. They are called in one breath. Here's something for those of you who are congregational members or who are newcomers to Krishna consciousness, it is said he dressed from second-hand Caritas cloth, but later he was known as a person who dressed in style and was also criticized by the more renounced people because of this. He had an operation and needed a medical walking cane, but in Kirtan he was known as the wildest dancer. He was known for his exuberant, joyful jumping and so on. Yes, by now I think you know who John Favors is. He is no one else than our Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, who became the author of 70 books. I have something here about this his amazing life from Wikipedia. That's the internet dictionary. It says Bhakti Tirtha Swami was the highest ranking African American in ISKCON. Bhakti Tirtha Swami met with prominent world figures such as Nelson Mandela and Zambia's president Kenneth Kaunda. He was frequently interviewed in the media, wrote 70 books on religious topics, and led community development projects in the United States and other countries. It goes on like this. He was the founder of this institute. He worked in the UN. In Colombia, he was recognized in the year 2006. It said, His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami Krishnapad is recognized for the dedication to social change and that he has impacted civil and human rights for residents in the District of Columbia. You know, I had the privilege to be quite close to Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. At least he so kindly allowed me in his closeness and called me his friend. And I once asked him, you know, when you read the world literature, your story is a true story of change. And he said, Maharaj, it's not me who has affected this change. It is Srila Prabhupada and Krishna. I believed strongly in the mercy of Prabhupada and Krishna. That's my credit in this story. But that is very minor, the credit. I would like to encourage all of you to take a lesson from this amazing history of one individual who by normal standards could have at best become a criminal street sweeper. That's a little tough. I mean, I don't think everyone would agree with this, so let me take the statement back. I wanted to say something dramatic, but that was not good. It didn't look so good, such a birth, let us say like this. But he had a strong belief, first as a child, in God's mercy. He was raised in Christian ways, and later as a devotee in Prabhupada's and Krishna's mercy, and see what this mercy has done to an individual. It's a wonderful story of the power of mercy. I really want to encourage you today to think a little bit on your connection with this Kripa Shakti, the most powerful of all the Lord's Shaktis, his mercy Shakti. How are you connected with the mercy Shakti? If you don't believe in it, you say it's not possible, when I go back to my normal life, that's absolutely clear. Change, transformation, I have no more faith in these things, and so on. Then you can't get the mercy. If in the beginning of when someone wants to give you a gift and you in the beginning say no, close their hands, you will not be able to receive the gift. The Holy Name wants to give us the gift of Krishna Prema. Krishna wants this. He's like a touchstone. The touchstone wants to transform into gold. It's its function. It's its nature. It's normal. So when you receive the Holy Name in your hands, with faith, not without faith, then it can affect change in you, because at that time you allow it to exhibit its Kripa Shakti or his Kripa Shakti. No? When you don't have faith, you just block yourself from the Kripa Shakti, but still something will work in some ways. Don't worry. Although the Holy Name, I'm going to leave it like this. I want to now bring you into 3 points. I want to bring 3 points to your attention, which are necessary to understand for our next thing. I want to ask Krishna Jivani to open the doors so that we have some oxygen. That's very important in such a gathering in the morning. I want to ask a question this morning. This will need your full attention. It's not an easy question. It's a mind-boggling question. It's a hard question. What are the elements so that genuine and lasting transformation can take place? That's a tough question, isn't it? Can I ask the question again to you, that you can start to put some oil in the brain? Good morning, it's time to think now. What are the elements which need to be there so that genuine and lasting transformation can take place? I would prefer, yes, we can see a few. I will give the lecture, so don't give a lecture, but give a point. Yes, Madhupati. A firm decision, Madhavananda. What?
Humility.
Oh, sorry, Maharaj, I didn't look at me. Please, Maharaj.
A higher taste.
A higher taste. Very, very good answer. Higher taste. Thank you.
Mercy.
Yeah.
Sincere desire and association of strong devotees.
Sincere desire and association of strong devotees. Govindanandan.
Realization. Krishna.
What?
Krishna.
Very good. Chandamoli Maharaj.
Steady determination.
Steady determination.
And faith and an open mind.
Faith and an open mind. Jashvi?
To learn from everybody and anything.
To learn from everybody and anything. That's a typical Ojashvi answer. Very good. Yes. No, Ojashvi thinks like this. Yes. Gaura Sankirtan Prabhu.
Honesty.
Strong will. strong will.
Strong love to God.
Sorry?
Strong love to God.
Strong love to God. Mm-hmm. Yes. Compassion.
Connection with God.
Connection with God. Ravi.
Avoidance of offenses.
Avoidance of offenses. My God, we have a few very good points. I mean, not a few, all a very good point. Neat, thank you for your photo photo presence, yes. Permanent understanding who I am.
Desire.
Sincere prayers. Wow, you really have here Lila Purushottam.
Some deeper, unique experience.
It is very much like a higher taste, huh? That pulls us. Yes.
Gratitude.
Whew, it's really a lot here. I know you have. Some more. I would like to present to you three things, three tools. And I would like to write them down. Can I have this mobile microphone? Krishna.
Can you turn up the volume, please, a little bit?
This, what you will hear now, is obviously connected to the way we work in our retreats. Some of you came to us and gave us feedback, which I very much appreciated. You said you really thought about what you presented, and you honed it, and based on experience. I would like to say, first of all of your answers are very, very substantial. I didn't hear one answer where I felt, you know, they all are very good. But I would now like to address three systematic points which you can practice and which will bring you it's almost like the sadhana of transformation, if you want to call it like this, the practice of transformation. And I would like to encourage you, as you are listening and receiving the information of these points, to see in your own life, to compare them with what you have heard in the scriptures, to compare them what your experience has told you in your life. And it's like the three elements of change, which are very useful. I'm taking these three elements from the Upanishadic way of learning, and from what I have received from Srila Prabhupada. You will see. Now to change, the first element is a new sense of identity. Could you please?
New sense of
the idea. With this I mean Sambandha Gyan, we are informed, we are not the body. Have you ever heard this sentence?
It sounds familiar. We are actually different from body and mind. And we are informed we are an eternal servant of Krishna. This first point is very, very important. If we would just be a body, a sense gratification and material mental speculation would be our life. The stone was just stone. And some stones I hear there are souls in it, but not all. But even if there is a soul in a rock, it's very covered. It cannot start chanting all of a sudden. It can echo the chanting, but it can't take beads in its hand and read scripture and offer food and so on. So if you would just be a material being, you wouldn't be able to act spiritually. In our scriptures we learn that it is not true to say we are a human being and have a soul, but it is more correct to say we are the soul. And at the moment we are just in a human experience. But our real identity is the soul. You need, if you want, you know, Krishna consciousness, where it says don't go to discos or don't do this, but do this. It only makes sense if you are really a soul, a part of God. So this is the first understanding. It's called Sambandha Gyan. Now, one element of Sambandha Gyan. The second, for a lasting transformation, is you must have contact with Shastra, with divine scripture, the revelation. Let me write this down and not talk while I write. Faith in the scripture, because although we are souls, part and parcel of Krishna, at the moment our understanding is clouded. We are not in full realization. But the scriptures can lead us out of our material perspective. There is something like Shrutekshita. You should see by the Shruti, by the scriptures which you hear. These scriptures become your eyes. These can help you, the scriptures, to see transcendental things. You need faith in scripture and in the process. Have you ever heard the word Ado Shraddha? In the very beginning, there is faith. Don't think it's just in the beginning. Don't think just the new devotee should have faith. The older, no. No. The faith is supposed to crystallize and become more and more strong. From weak faith, the Komala Shraddha, it must become Nishtha, or steady, and continue and develop into Bhava and Prema one day. So this is something which needs to be always be there. Faith, and the faith needs to rest in two things, in the scripture and in the process. Every day you should think about faith. And I want to really say one thing about this book, Harinam Chintamani. Reading this book, really there is so much more in it than we could explain in 5 days. It's an unfathomable mine of jewels. It's a quote like this. Now, unfathomable mine of divine nectar. I would suggest to read a little bit in this work, if you can get it. Also, I mean, I'm always in two minds, if I should say it, but the book which you have, some of you have read, The Nectarian Ocean of the Holy Name, is following Harinam Chintamani. It's a book written on the basis of this, an English book. It just fluffs out the subjects a little bit. It makes it a little bit more I don't know if understandable, but it just spreads and brings a few more aspects into it. So this is the second thing: faith in scripture and the process. And the third thing is you must actually do something. Activities, I write it short, activities based on 1 and 2. Means on the new sense of identity. I'm a soul, and faith in the scriptures and the process. When you have these three things in touch and in place, a change is possible. And I would like to illustrate this a little bit. I'm not a great painter, but I will try to now make a graffiti which is as good as Rembrandt and Van Gogh together. I want to try to paint the soul and the body. Well, this is the soul, surrounded by the subtle body, and here is the gross body. That's as good as I can paint. Since a lot, the impulse for activity comes always from the living soul, the consciousness. It's the life within the other one, in the matter. And let us say you get an impulse, then the mind thinks, let me do this, it goes through the mind, and then the body acts it out. This is the activity which we normally do. And we are usually habituated by this. Our impulse to do something is conditioned by the mind and by the body. No? It is limited by the mind and by the body. It is controlled by the mind and by the body. What we must do for lasting transformation, we must create and do different activities. Let me try to paint this. Based on a different understanding, I am not the mind and not the body, and based on the faith in the scriptures and the process which is recommended there, then we can change our life. If we always keep on the same type of activities, I mean there are many I could write, then we would always remain the same. So you need to take some practice from this retreat, and you need to do it every day. In our last retreat in Switzerland, where we have a series of retreats, this was on the Bhagavatam, we said to the devotees, every one of you has to promise to read at least one verse of Bhagavatam a day. It was the Bhagavatam seminar. And they did it, and now we get so much mails, so much phone calls. Our life changed. Just we started with one verse because we gave a promise, and you said you would test us in the next seminar, so we better, you were shaking with fear, and we did this, and something has changed. This, from the Swiss, and Swiss people are not changing so often, but they do this, did this, and it was amazing. So you also need to take one thing with you, and I will suggest this one thing to you just in a moment, not now. If you don't do this, you will remain bound to your old habits. Let me ask you a question. Who of you has a navi, we call it in German. Navi, but it's a navigation system. It's this little thing which says levo, desno, stretsko, and so on. Who uses a navigation system in the car? Many of you are poor and have no cars. about one third of you, that's already a good group to work with. Now, we are also using a navigation system, Sharangatakur and myself, and we are accustomed and habituated to follow that navigation system. When it says left and right, it's such a good thing. We don't have to think, we don't have to look in the map, and so on. There were in Germany a few cases now where this habit of following the navigation system brought severe problems because they sometimes are not up to the newest standard. There are a few people in Hamburg who followed the navigation system when they went into the harbor. Germans accustomed to authority. And the navigation system told them straight, but they saw, when we drive straight, we will fall into the ocean with our car. But the navigation said, geradeaus. I can't do this. No, the navigation system said, and they were driving in the ocean. Because they were so much habituated to follow the navigation system. It was their habit. They were accustomed to this. Now you all laugh, but this is what you do every day. You follow your old program, which does not serve you to become a blissful devotee in Krishna consciousness. You follow your old habits in chanting the holy names, and as a result, nothing changes. Many of you who will leave, or I beg you, when you leave the retreat, don't follow the old navigation system, that is to chant in some of the ways which we saw, neglectful, inattentive, while driving, what else did we say, while resting, what was the other thing, reading the newspapers, or looking TV and so on. You have to change something. I want to suggest that one thing you can change is, remember Prabhupada's statement in the teachings of Kapila, he said, first we address Hare. You remember it was, I think, on the second day where we learned attentive chanting by bringing our mind always from wherever it wandered to the first Hare in the beginning. Then we continued after the first, after doing this for quite some time, to bring the mind to each one of the holy names. You might have noticed that this new program was very good when you did it here. Do you remember how at times you were singing, especially when it was not yet such fast melodies? Fast comes at the end usually, but when it started slowly, the kirtans, do you remember how you actually had the experience of being with each name and how blissful it was? You might have seen here in the photographs how some of you were, you were really with the holy name. And I would love to suggest this one little simple thing. Wherever the mind goes during the time of restlessness, you bring it to the holy name, the first Hare first, and then you practice to be more and longer with the holy name. Please try this for at least a month, and you will discover a new arrow here, a new habit. And I so much appreciated what our Prananda Maharaj said about what brings about permanent and lasting transformation. He said it so wisely, a higher taste. You can't always push yourself to this, to buddhidova, to be good. But if you have a higher taste, you are automatically attracted to do the right thing. So this little practice to be attentive while chanting, and thus avoid the root of all the other anattas, no? While chanting. There is something you can practically do. It's not so difficult. You can avoid the offense of inattention by just being attentive to what you do, and you will see miraculous changes in your life. You will get to actually like the chanting, and you will have nam ruchi, or taste in the holy name, and then no problem any longer for you. You are out of the problematic area. Hare Krishna. Lasting transformation, a new sense of identity. If you forget everything, remember the rope, how in the end we saw how the souls were bound by a rope that was a symbol, an idea of sambandha. We are eternal souls, we are actually parts of Krishna, we are bound to him by a relationship. Second thing is, you need to change your belief system. Not that you know I'm soul, but I still believe material pleasures are important for my life. You need to change your belief system. You need to develop faith in two things: scriptures and the process which is recommended, and then you actually need to do activities based on the understanding of who you are and on your new beliefs. That's how you start on the road of transformation. The result is that you will get a higher taste and you will say no to the Navi. I'm very proud of Sharangatakur. We once drove with a navigation system on one road, and the navigation system said to Stuttgart it is left. But we knew from past experience and from the signs to Stuttgart it is right. And Sharanga went right, not left. Because he stopped the old habit to follow the always the navigation system. It's very important to stop following the navigation system where it navigates you into the wrong way, that is a compromised spiritual life where you just cannot get a higher taste because you do things all wrong. This is very good. Okay, very, very easy understanding, very easy point. God, I'm so happy. I said what I wanted to say.
You know, when I showed you this arrow of the new activities which are not following the old program or the old habits, it is very easy to draw it on the map, an arrow and so on. And I practiced my painting art here 2 times so that I could do it wrong because I'm very bad at painting. It's very easy to paint such a thing and present such a concept. but it requires a special endeavor to really do a new activity. Dhammago, it requires some strength. You have to do it when you start a new activity. You have to really want to do it, and you have to also know you will be challenged at times by your old life. I always say, when you sit down to chant, you're not alone. Ooh, a whole universe sits down with you, and that's your whole life, you know. So you need to be ready to invest an endeavor into this. And therefore, we thought to give you in the beginning, or to give you now a simple practice which doesn't challenge you too much. I always say myself, anyways, I will now sit for around 1.5 to 2 hours. Anyways, I have to be with this. So let me invest in this attention exercise and do this what we have said so far. And because I'm anyways sitting here, I might as well use the time properly. But it is a certain endeavor. It's not so easy to change an old habit. Really, you need to be ready to make this endeavor. Please, don't hesitate to do this endeavor. If you hesitate to do this endeavor, you will drive into the ocean. You know, you please give this an endeavor, or something which you feel suits you even better. Some endeavor is required in this. I need to say it because I'm expecting all of you to be enlightened chanters when you're there, when you're in your places. I'm saying it like this, but I wish that you will be happy in your spiritual life, and therefore it needs to be said that this endeavor needs to be there. But anyways, you have done so many good things already. Why not this small good thing? You have given up materialistic endeavors to a large extent. Why not do this here, this last little something? Good. So I want to now see where we are. Good, we are actually good in time. I want to now, let me see, I think this is very clear, isn't it? It's not, we don't need to ask questions on this. It is odd. I mean, it's so bad when some of the lecturers say, you don't need to ask a question, no? When you ask a question, you look almost foolish. Would anyone like to ask a specific question on this? I'm afraid of your questions. I can answer them privately. You have not raised your hands.
Yes.
You have asked. Privately, I will ask. Yes. Answer.
Mm-hmm. Forgive me if I'm misunderstanding, but the old habits that we're performing in our day-to-day lives, most of the time we don't know that they're a bad habit. Well, for me, I don't realize that they're a bad habit until I've gone down that navigation route and realize it's a bad habit. So do we, by performing these different activities, do they naturally counteract?
Yeah, very good question. There's so many things which we don't recognize as bad habits until we go down the route and something happens and it tells us, my God, this was not good. In what I'm trying to communicate here is, don't for a moment concentrate on the positive thing, that is attentive chanting. We heard that inattention from this, that this was what the Harinam Chidnamani says, come all the other anattas. So by concentrating on making, let me say, by concentrating on the positive thing, that is the chanting with attention, ultimately you will get a higher taste for the holy name. The holy name will reveal himself more and more to you, and when you act upon this, when you have a higher taste, you are not prepared to go for the lower taste any longer. You know, I had one, there was one noon prashadam, there was a pilsa there, and then was the boring health soup on the left side, which is so boring. When you see it, you want to already jump out of the window. It's so boring. That was a pizza. No problem. We went for the pizza, naturally, higher taste. I'm speaking in modern ISKCON language. This always makes everything very clear to the audience. We are prasadam lovers, yes. So don't think so much about the negative thing. Therefore, you might have noticed when Bhaktivinoda Thakur deals, or when Haridas Thakur enumerates the aparadhas, he actually always gives a remedy. In one part of Harinam Chintamani, let me see if I just can find it by just going click. In one part of Harinam Chintamani, that is the 13th chapter, he says, it is not enough to simply give up committing the 10 offenses. Each one of these offenses implies a particular positive injunction. This difficult English, let me translate it into simple English. Each one of these offenses tells us that we should do something positive. The prohibitions given in the teachings of the 10 aparadhas are a way of instructing us in these positively, the prohibitions given in the teachings of the 10 aparadhas are a way of instructing us in these means the positive injunctions, to positively implement the specific saintly qualities that render these aparadhas impossible. And I would like to be now very practical. I also in the morning sometimes I just don't get it. What it says here is a prohibition, that is a do not, tells us do this positively. For instance, one who diligently, that means very carefully, gives up all blasphemy of Vaishnava sadhus, who adapts the pure understanding that Vishnu is the supreme truth, who accepts the guru and scriptures that promote the holy name as topmost, who believes in his heart that the holy name is completely pure and spiritual, and then it gives all types of positive things. I can even make it more simple. Praise Vaishnavas. Know that Vishnu is the supreme truth. Accept the guru and the scriptures that promote the holy name. Believe in your heart that the holy name is completely pure and spiritual. Give up all sinful motivation to mix the seed of sin. Preach the pure holy names only to those who possess faith. No? And so on. This is how you will receive Krishna's mercy, positively. There's something in psychology which I think describes very much the modern man. When the modern man hears don't do it, he wants to do it. I know when I was a child, I was very curious. I still remember they had, when they used to work in the streets, You know, they would work at the canalization or the under earth telephone lines or so on. And then they would have to make this red and white plastic band around the place which said, no one can go there. You have this in Croatia. The child, I must go. I must go, you know, and see what is there. What is prohibited. I must look at this. This is a little bit the programming of a conditioned soul. I must see. And I know I would wait until the sun was down so that no one could see me. And then I would go into the hole. And then I would go and go under earth because I wanted to see, because it is was prohibited. So if you obviously don't do this, don't look at move at this movie, The Last Samurai. It's a terrible movie. Then you will go, wow, I must see this, you know. Don't do this. Don't eat sweets. I must eat sweets. So you have to educate the Kali Yuga mind in a positive way. You always think negative, negative, negative. You have that negative thing in your mind. Think of positive. And that's why that arrow means do something positive, Ravi. That will save you. I mean, save you from the old navigation system automatically. When you do the positive thing, let us say the thin arrow is the poor inattentive chanting, and the thick arrow is a new habit of chanting attentively by practically bringing the mind first to the first hari and then let it be with the rest of the mantra. After some time, that will say, I'm sorry, Ojashvi, I will talk to you personally because it will require a good answer because you do so much kirtan. So we will have one last question. Madam Ananda, I saw you earlier.
I'd like to ask a technical question about the chanting, because we have this one grantha chanting, this one grantha chanting, and also the chanting of the number of 64 rounds. And I read something, it's connected also to our number of breathing, of certain breathing, but I don't get it anymore. That all this has a reason why it's 108 rounds or 108 malas and 64 rounds and 4 rounds. And maybe you can give a short explanation how this is connected.
Why the number 64 or a grantha is 4 rounds? Bhaktivinoda Thakur says start with 4 rounds and then increase. And Srila Prabhupada gave us 4 times 4, 16 rounds. And 64 is there, which is a number which Gauranga Mahaprabhu gave to his devotees, one leg. Actually, one leg is not exactly 64, but it has been upgraded to 64 because it is known when you chant so much that sometimes you skip a mantra, and then this way some extra rounds are given so that you make up for the skipped mantras. It happens. You can check yourself by the clock. Sometimes you have finished a round in an amazing short time, and then you know, oops, I must have gone a little bit fast in my counting mechanics, and so on. I have not heard that there is a correlation to the breath. I have simply no information about this. I cannot speak on this. But I have been often asked about combining breathing with chanting. What is about that? Because it is sometimes done. And I have not heard anything from Srila Prabhupada about it. I will turn to Prahlada Nanda Maharaj because he knows yoga very well. Have you heard breathing and chanting something?
Prabhupada said chanting is pranayama.
Yeah.
That's all.
Prabhupada said in the third canto, chanting is pranayama. You have heard Chandramouli Maharaj?
Came across a book which was done by a Christian mystic who practices also what we say Vedic. Her name is Sister Vandanam, and she wrote a whole book about chanting and connecting the breath on it, so it's quite detailed.
Yeah.
I don't remember all.
I have asked some Gaudiya Vaishnavas about this and found some information from a god brother of Srila Prabhupada who was very close to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He is a stable one. He doesn't speculate. Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj, he has left his body. He was also a god brother who supported ISKCON. He did not go to do something out of competition, which was maybe not so pleasant. But he has spoken about this, but he said it is generally not taught in our line, because the moment you become involved with breathing, with this, there is a technique. I mean, I could just briefly tell you because you are inquisitive. What he said, usually in yogic breathing, or to calm the mind, you exhale longer than you inhale, because with the exhale the toxins leave you. So you go on an exhale and two mantras like this: Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. I can only do it now like this, but my exhale stops here. But when two, and then on an inhale, you chant one mantra internally. You don't go like, that is disrespectful to the holy name. I think it's obvious. And that will, sometimes when my mind is so upset and something just, a new bomb exploded in my life, it's really, can't concentrate. I do it for one round, but then, not even one round, it's already good. It's very powerful after half a round or so. Then I go quickly back to just not thinking about the breathing, because then you become absorbed in something else. Let us not forget, chanting is something like worship. You don't count. So it has to do with affection. It has to do with prayer. You don't count, you know. Do you say when we see each other, when you see someone and you give your friend a hug, I'll give you one, I'll give it two, and I'll give you three, and then goodbye. You know, you don't count these things. They happen due to a more spontaneous thing, you know. So it would become yoga mishra bhakti when you do that. There you put something else. But I know sometimes the mind is just the mind, you know, especially when one comes from Germany, and like me, and especially if it comes from Bavaria, which is the country of the strong minds in Germany, or the district of the whatever it's called, then that might help. But I know we could engage in more questions and answers. It's very important for me because today you all have to, we have to vacate some of us, their rooms and so on. And breakfast is also coming up soon. I want to now guide you in the last exercise of this evening.
evening, morning. It's because it's so dark. You think it's evening. We made it dark to see the wonderful slide presentation. But I really must once again say, Go Govinda Syam Nam and Bhakta with the Z, I think. He's Zorani. Dobro. Velike dobro. Yosh dobro. You know. In other words, this is art. This is and you made us all love. And Nita Daya, you have a way of, I mean, you are the best when it comes to humorous roles. You are really unbeatable, you know, how he sits there, lies there and chants and reads this magazine, you know, and it looks so absolutely real, you know. No one thinks this when you preach to the holy name to the unqualified naked tourists, you know. Did you inform them before that you would do this, or
maybe they were also devotees among them?
Maybe they were not. Oh my God, you really look like me in the beginning phases, a little fanatic. Krishna, good. Where are we now? I would like to request you now. I would like to guide you in a Sankalpa ceremony. I need three male brahmanas who can... You have already designated them? Ach ja. Was machen... I'm sorry, this is... Was machen wir denn jetzt?
Dear.
Ja. Soll ich denn jetzt diese Writing-Ding machen, diese Writing-Exercise? Erst Madhupati. Doch. So, this was all very serious. We now want to invite a rapper. Don't worry, it is very spiritual. To rap. To put a rap version of the, it's very spiritual. When you hear rap, it rips you apart. I know. It's not like that. It is Madhupati, who has prepared something on the retreat, which we can see now, just to digest a little bit, or to just give our mind a pause, because I will ask you very soon to do something different. Would you like to announce it, or? The Madhaji, Manunandini, please, you know what.
Hare Krishna, yesterday we ended very last, very late today, so Maharaj and myself didn't have time really to go through the points of this morning. We would like to request you now, we make a little break, because we need to make here a space for the Sankalpa ceremony. So we would request the Matajis to move 2 meters to the back. Thank you so much. And while we are preparing here the place for the Sankalpa ceremony, Madhupati Prabhu would present his rap to the holy name. And when the Sankalpa ceremony takes place, I will tell it now immediately, we will have men coming from, because they need to give the
on the right wrist.
So men will actually be coming from the right side, and ladies will be coming from the left side of the room. And there will be on each side of the altars 3 brahmanas sitting, who will be placing around the wrist a sankalpa thread. And Maharaj will guide you in the exercise to find your sankalpa for after the retreat. And then while we are facing the altar and receiving our thread, we will have to focus on the sankalpa. But Maharaj, you will explain that a little bit in detail. But just for now, yes, we have made a space. And Damayanti, I would request her to, and Lilavati, to set everything up for, like we spoke. Okay, thank you.